Today's program is brought to you by Campari. For more information, visit Campari.com.
I'm Erica Wise, host of Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
You're listening to In the Drink on heritageradionetwork.org. I'm your host, Joe Campanelli. We have just a few days left for Alta Linea. For those of you who liked our frozen Negronis, our outdoor patio, our wine list, come on in. Sunday, October 9th is going to be our last day. And from now until October 9th, we will be doing 50% off all bottles of wine. Raid our cellar. There's a lot of great stuff left. There's Capilano, Palo Bea, ton of great wines you can get at 50% off of the of what we've been selling for all year round. And come have one last frozen Negroni. It'll probably be pretty chilly at night, but it'll still taste delicious. I hope to see you there. Also, I just got back from harvest for Annona for my wine project in Abruzzo. We harvested everything by hand. We brought in the 2016 Montepulciano for Moto Antico. It gave me a really great appreciation for what goes into hand harvesting, doing everything by hand, working in the field. It was backbreaking work, and it was a lot of fun. It was also absolutely beautiful in Abruzzo this time of year, like 70 degrees during the day. We were actually a little scared. The last few weeks have been kind of rainy, which is something you don't want to see, especially getting close to harvest. But it pushed the vintage back about a week and a half. Still kept sugars pretty moderate. So we're going to have like 12.5% alcohol in the Moto Antico with really great acidity. And I can't wait for us to release that wine. All right. I'm really excited about today's show. We have in the studio with us today Jorge Riera. He's the wine director for both Contra and Wild Air. These are two places on the Lower East Side that everyone is freaking out over. Not only the extraordinary food program, which just won a James Beard Award, but his incredible natural focused wine lists with extremely delicious small production wines from around the world. Jorge, welcome to In the Drink. It's great
Thank
to you.
Have you. Hello.
How did you get into your lists are known for being on the more natural wine side. How did you get into first interested in these sorts of wines?
Well, I gravitated towards these wines working in a small French beach bistro years ago, and not knowing, I just gravitated towards the Beaujolais and wines from Alsace. And when I started to figure out, one of the earliest wines I had was from Marcel Lapierre. And then I started with Foyard, and I'd like to drink these wines with low alcohol, very bright fruit expressions of earth. But I didn't really know anything about it until I started to dig. And when I opened up Balthazar back in 97... working with Jonathan Nossiter, who you know, he did a fantastic list for the time that wasn't, you know, no one did a list like that. I mean, we were selling Darden Rebo and, you know, Côtois, a Soho crowd that was unheard of, and people were gravitating towards these wines. Then I did a visit in France in 2003, which really opened my mind up with what they were doing in France in the Loire at that time. And you know, working at a small bistro on Red Hook, which was one of the earliest restaurants to focus on all natural wine lists. I want to give a shout out to Arno Ehart from 360. Mm-hmm. And we had an amazing wine list together. And after that, I never looked back, because once you start drinking these wines, that's all you look forward. And, you know, once I started networking with everyone in France and meeting other people, it's, you know, I just kept hungering and thirsting for more, you know, and these are the wines that I drink. These are the wines that I like to show people. I think they go very well with food. They brighten food up, and, you know, it's just a great thing what they're doing with wine now, you know.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these wines are the same wines that I like to drink in my personal cellar. I have more LaPierre and Foyard than anything else, and it also helps that my girlfriend Alyssa loves to drink them as well, so that works out nicely. But what is it that you like so much about these wines?
Well, I love the expression that they give of terroir. I love the way they capture what the fruit is, what the grape is. Okay, it really expresses itself in the glass, and it's something that I look forward to, like drinking. I drink a lot of Gamays. I drink a lot of Pinot Donis. I love Romorantin. You know, all these like ancestral varietals, Gamay Chardonnay, Gamay de Auvergne. I love the wines from the Auvergne. You know, it's something that, it's a taste that once you get addicted to, you're always looking forward for that taste. It's not covered by wood. It's not covered by high alcohols. Mm-hmm. It's got a nice balance. They always bring out the ripeness in the fruit. It's just something that I really love to drink, you know?
Yeah, and I find that there's a lot of individuality in the wines.
Absolutely.
Too, right? Like, you can have so many. Their Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon, it's not that, you know, there's certainly some fine ones as well, but that tastes so similar, right? And you have wines that are made like this, even if they're from the same grape, from the same region, they have such distinct personalities.
Yeah, they express the vigneron. Once you get to know the vigneron and what they're about and how they tend to their vines and what they're doing in the cellar, they're really expressive of the person that's making the wine and very individual in that way.
And how did you get teamed up with the guys from Contra? It seems like an all-star team there.
Well, I befriended them when I was running the bar at Ten Bells, and they were coming in almost daily. It was basically their office when they were looking for the space. So I got to know them. They knew some of the same people that I knew. They had just come from Europe, so they knew all the guys at Verolet and, you know, Chateaubriand, Inaki, and all that. So we got along great, and they were coming in every day. I think they signed their lease in Ten Bells,
no
funny enough. So, you know, they opened up, and I kind of supported them from the get-go. And, you know, the wine director there left earlier than need. They came to me, and I was in a transition, and I just jumped on board and just changed the whole wine program around.
Yeah, and really, timing is everything there.
Yes, yes.
Amazing.
You know? And these guys are doing something really beautiful with food and, you know, really on top of it. They really understand, and they are very supportive of what I'm doing, and they let me, you know, spread my wings, and, you know, we haven't looked back since. You know, it's been nice, and we've been fortunate with all the press and everything that we've gotten.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the food is outstanding. I've been to Contra, and it's a tasting menu that is just beautifully composed, very nuanced and elegant, and delicious, and a great value for the for the level of food. Not that you should raise the prices. Don't tell them to. But it really is such an outstanding value. And as you said, there's been so much fanfare, and people have been really excited about the food. And I imagine people come there and being attracted to everything that's been written about the food. Do you find that the people who are come for the food, come for all the awards, are then also as interested in the wine? Do you get some guests who are like, I just have like a normal wine or something like that?
Well, no. I mean, we have a crowd that comes in for both now. I mean, people are coming in for the food, but we've gotten a big, you know, wine drinking crowd now, which are coming in for natural wines. We get a lot of chefs from Europe. We get a lot of crowds from Europe, from, you know, the same networks. We do a lot of pop-ups with chefs from abroad. Mm-hmm. And all this crowd now comes and they gravitate towards the wine and food. You know, the fact that they can come in and drink a nice glass of wine with great food, they love it. You know, once in a while you do get the people that say, what is this? It's like reading a Chinese menu and, you know, Chinese. But, you know, but once they get to appreciate it, they really love what it is. You know, mm-hmm. I gauge every customer whenever I have to. I'm not going to give them like a hardcore wine if they're not used to it. You know, I had a customer a couple of days ago saying, we're from Sonoma, we don't know these wines. And I did a wine tasting pairing for them, and they loved it, you know, and they were just like, we never had wines like this. This is incredible. We're going to come back. So it's nice to hear this day in, day out, you know, even with the people that are not used to drinking natural wines.
Yeah. And how do you go about pairing the natural? Do you think there's anything that applies more with natural wines when you're doing these pairings with food?
Well, you have to know you're not going to pair a wine that like oxidizes in like, you know, an hour or so. But, you know, I do a really radical wine pairing program at Contra, and it goes all over the place, you know, with off sweet, demi sec, bubbles, rosé, whites, reds, and people love it, you know, because it's not a normal wine pairing. You know, you don't get the set wine pairing, and it's a lot of fun, and, you know, it goes very well with what
it's
the kids are doing.
White and rosé and red.
It's all over the place.
It's all over.
You know, it's macerated whites, you know, that people are not used to drinking, and, you know, the attitude and the expressions that they have after having these wines and pairing it, it's incredible. You know, when they drink the wine, they say it has something, but when I have it with the food, it just, like, opens up flavors and, you know.
See, I'm the type I'd usually prefer to get a whole bottle and experience the bottle across the meal. But it sounds like, yeah, you've convinced me that next time I come to Contra, I want to try. It sounds like a really fun approach that you're taking to the wine
pairings.
Yeah, it's
a fun approach. And also, I do have bottles that I challenge people with and a bottle that'll go through the whole meal. And they, at the end of the meal, they're like, this is incredible. This bottle, like, it'll be a white with, like, the whole, or a light red. And, you know, they're really, they're so happy in the end.
Yeah. And that, I mean, that's the best thing, be able to see that immediate
satisfaction.
And how do you go about, other than, all right, these are established natural wines, what's the next level? Like, how do you go about choosing the wines within the scheme of natural wines that exist in the world? And that's already a big limiting factor, but within those, how do you choose what you want for
those? Well, many of the wines that I have, I know the growers personally. I know what they're doing. You know, I support them. And, you know, I do a lot of tastings. People know, you know, the people that taste with me, I'm constantly tasting and, you know, discovering new things. And when I go to fairs in Europe, you know, I discover a lot of new things and hope that things are imported. And there's so many wines that are available in New York that, I mean, sometimes people that come from France, they don't even see these wines there, you know. So, you know, we're fortunate. And in New York City, is like a huge market, you know. And I just, you know, I've contoured a list in Contra for the food there, and I contoured a list at Waldeyer for the food there. So they're both very different. Nothing's the same. You know, they're both natural. They're both very different from each other. And I just, you know, go with what I taste and what I like and what they're doing with the food at the time. And that's how I go about choosing.
Mm-hmm. You know? And, you know, I've been to Contra, as I said, a few times and absolutely loved it. I have not yet been to Wild Air, but everyone I know loves Wild Air. I feel like all my wine drinking friends are just super fans of Wild Air. Can you explain to us what the approach is for both of them, both in terms of the food and the wine? Because Wild Air, I think of as a wine bar, but it seems like more of a restaurant.
Well, yeah, it's a wine bar in sort of like the Vivolet style, you know. It's this type of wine bar that you sit down, there's no bar, you know, and it's, you know, more European. It's like Manfred's. It's like, you know, it's a wine bar in that sort of way. And, you know, it's more loose. It's louder. It's, you know, people can do anything. They can stay there all day, all night and drink and eat. Or they can come in for a glass of wine, have some oysters, and leave. You know, it's this type of transient crowd that's coming in all day long, which is beautiful.
Great. And, I can't think of other places that kind of really exist like that, where you can go, I mean, and really have, you know, a whole meal. I mean, we think that we did that a little bit at Amphora, but really at Wild Air, it's another level of food, a higher quality, more thought that goes into the food, to the point where you really could have like a full meal there, or just stop in for a glass of wine and a little bite.
Absolutely. You know, in Contra, the meal is a more cerebral expression, you know, with the wines as well. But in Wild Air, it's just a fun, you know, it's a lot of great flavors, you know, very simple food, very clean food, executed extremely well with the wines to go. You know, we do a lot of large formats, so we have a lot of fun. Sometimes I'll do a Jeroboam by the glass, and when people see that, you know, they bug out. And I've contoured a list that I see, you know, two tops drinking a Magnum, three people drinking a Magnum, and I love that. You know, it's very the way that I was brought into this wine world, you know, just drinking this type, you know, and
wine that's meant to be drunk. Yeah, a lot of those wines that you mentioned before are kind of on the moderate to low alcohol side of
absolutely.
Wines, where you can really like go after them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's something that you kind of tend towards as
yep.
well.
Yeah, I like to drink a lot, so, you know.
Yeah, me too.
I want wines that my body just easily ingests, and I can just knock them back without even thinking, you know, that have nice fruits that, you know, support the food that I'm eating, and that's it, you know.
Yeah. Now, outside of France, where it's clear you have a true passion, a lot of experience with that, what other areas of the world?
Catalonia. Catalonia is doing something with wines that remind me of the Loire in the early 2000s. I mean, there's a lot of great young winemakers that have been to France, have been, you know, influenced by what the guys are doing in the Loire, and are working with these old varietals, with low alcohol, with less extraction. I mean, Spain got a big, bad, you know, expression back in the, you know, 2000s, 90s about, you know, high extraction wood. And now these guys are knocking back the alcohol levels. Fruit is coming forward. You know, they're working with amphora, you know, and tinaja in Spanish. So in Catalonia, they're really, you know, doing some beautiful work. And in certain parts of southern Spain and Granada as well, you know. I think that's really a beautiful region to discover right now.
Granada. I didn't realize that there were some interesting wines.
Oh, yeah, there's an amazing winemaker called Antonio Vilches Valenzuela. He's in Granada. He's like 1,000 meters above sea level. That he's been so influenced by what the guys are doing in the Loire. I mean, no one really pushes these wines, and when I sell these wines in Contra, I mean, people are blown away. Mm-hmm. And he's doing reds at 12%, and you know how hot it is over there.
Oh, yeah.
He's doing these beautiful whites with high acidity, a lot of freshness, you know. But Catalonia is a very
nice
special...
to look out for.
Yeah.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Okay. On that note, we're going to take just a quick break. We'll be back with more of Jorge Riera, the wine director of The Great Contra and Wild Air here in New York City, just after this.
This is Burgundy by the Hollows on Heritage Radio Network. We'll be back in a minute.
When you talk about Campari, one of the first things that comes to mind is the inimitable and ubiquitous Negroni cocktail, a favorite of Heritage Radio Network's. Joe Campanelli, host of In the Drink on Heritage Radio, talks about the interesting history of the Negroni cocktail.
The classic Milano Torino, which is better known as the Americano cocktail, which is Campari, good red vermouth. Use good red vermouth like Carpano Antica formula, Contrado, Cocchi Vermouth Torino, one of those, and soda water. Then later on in its history was transformed into the Negroni, which substituted good gin for the soda water, something a little bit stronger. Count Negroni spent many years traveling the Midwest, the Southwest of the United States, found a penchant for strong drinks, and later went to London where he started to like his gin, brought that all back to his favorite bar in Florence, and said, I'll take one of those Americano cocktails, but make it stronger, make mine with gin. And such was birthed the Negroni cocktail. And now it's really popular. I find that people are asking for Negronis with agave-based spirits, mezcal or tequila Negronis, especially mezcal, a little more popular. So mezcal Negronis are really delicious.
Experiment with your own Negroni recipe and enjoy it with Campari for a perfect cocktail creation. For more information, visit Campari.com.
Please enjoy responsibly.
All right, we're back with Jorge Riera from Contra and Wild Air. I feel like you guys are always doing such interesting, cool events, and you have amazing chefs who have come from around the world, and I'm always like, oh, I wish I knew about it, and I only find out about it later. How do you find out? How do we find out?
Well, mostly through social media.
Okay.
We post it on the Contra or Wild Air Instagram. We'll post it. We're going to do an event coming November 4th for a precursor of Isabel's Raw Wine Fair that's happening here in Brooklyn, which is going to be a great event. Gutegau is coming, and we're going to do a dinner focused around his wines. So that's going to be a lot of fun because it's the first time he's being imported into this country, and you know he's coming to New York for the first time. He's going to see what New York is about, what's happening with the wine world here, and it's going to be a very interesting weekend.
Yeah, a lot of people are excited about the Gutegau wines. I tried my first one with Dave Foss, who's the One of the wine, it was the wine buyer over at Anfora recently. He brought one back from Austria. He's like, Joe, you need to know about this stuff. It's so good. And yeah, I mean, that wine was incredible. So
yeah,
that's extremely cool. Exciting. So you're going to taste a bunch of his wines. It's
going to
be like a dinner pairing.
Situation. Yeah, it's going to be a nice dinner pairing. It's going to be a fun event. You know, it's going to be very loose. And he's doing some fantastic thing. I think this year is the first year that he's started to work sulfur-free in vinification and at bottling. The vines are strong enough. You know, he's inherited his land through his family, who are more conservative. And, you know, he's dialed back the sulfur usage. And now it's like zero sulfur. And it's, these wines are like fresh and, you know, vibrant and a lot of energy behind them.
Great. Yeah, and you mentioned the Raw Wine Fair. Actually, next week we are going to have as a guest on our show Isabelle Legeron. She's France's only female master of wine, and she is the founder of the Raw Wine Fair here in New York on November 6th and 7th. I will be going to that. I assume you're going to be
absolutely
going. 120 growers in town. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. Isabelle is doing a great thing. You know, her book is Natural Wine is a really nice introduction to natural wine. And I did an event with her about 2 years ago when the book release happened in Contra, and we had a lot of fun, you know, pouring a lot of the wines in the book and stuff like that with the food. It was a great, great time.
Yeah. And now where else do you like to drink natural wines?
I drink natural wines at June Wine Bar. I go to Four Horsemen a lot. That's a great wine bar in Brooklyn.
I love Four Horsemen.
Yeah, it's a great spot. And I drink at home because, you know, working 5 days, as you know, you know, I like to just take it easy, cook at home with some friends and just pop bottles and just relax.
Yeah, it feels easier to open up a lot of bottles at home, right?
Absolutely.
Like boom, boom. That's a lot of fun.
But the Four Horsemen, it's you know, I love the wine program that Justin Cherno put in, you know, I love the vibe there. It's really nice, casual, and a really fun place to have a great time.
Yeah, I'm really a huge fan of that place. And then what are some of the wines that are on your list right now that you're like super excited about? Like where I know everything you have is super small production, and even me as like a wine professional, I usually when I see a list, I know so many of them, and there's a small amount of wines that I actually am familiar with on your list, which is exciting for me.
Yeah, well, I'm really excited that Pascal Potter's Pet Sec just came back. Mm. So we're pouring the Pet Sec Rosé at Contra by the glass right now, which is a beautiful Gamay, Pet Nat, really dry, very fresh, good acidity. And we have the Pet Sec Blanc that's Chenin based at Wilder, which I do the Americano, the Vergano spritz with, and we pour it by the glass. And it's I love those wines so much. I think that's the best Pet Nat made right now. Also, the wines from Loriano Serres, Montagut in Catalonia. We have his whites and his reds in. I love those wines. And the wines from Jean Ramon Escoda. As well, I have special bottlings from Claude Tubeuf in the Loire. I got
from Thierry Pouzelat.
Yes, Thierry Pouzelat and Jean-Marie Pouzelat. I have the Pinot d'Onis that we're pouring currently out of Magnum, which is fantastic because it's the first year they Tubeuf has made a cuvée with Pinot d'Onis, which is a grape that I just love from the Loire. So, you know, I also have Gravotte and Jeroboam's if you're very thirsty.
Yeah.
Which is a beautiful Pinot Noir.
When I first opened Anfora, I had some Loriano Serres wines on the list. And that was like 6 years ago at this point. And then I stopped working with them because I found that there was a lot of, the bottles were very different. And I really haven't tasted them since then.
Yeah.
Loriano's
very rock and roll, which I love that about him. You know, he's learning and he's, you know, I think his wines are on a level right now that are just quite beautiful. You know, he's learned, you know, since then. I think I understand what you're saying. He had a lot of bottle variation.
That's,
you know, and you know, he was doing things, and as any grower, you know, you live, you learn, you get experience. And I think right now what he's doing, you know, he's learned and he's at a level that his wines are just, I can't stop drinking them.
Wow. Okay.
It's one of the wines that I will love to see in every list that I can, so I can drink them, you know, but he doesn't make that much wine. Makes very little.
I'm going back to revisit them because the, when they were on, I was like, oh, these wines are awesome. But then, there was a lot of variation. And then we had Talia Baiocchi and Leslie Pariseau on the show to talk about their Spritz book, which you guys should all check out. And they said that your Spritz was like one of their, I mean, in their international research for finding incredible Spritzes from around the world, they really like love your Spritz.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. I mean, I got that Spritz from Terry Puzla at his wedding. Mm. He was doing it. After he got married, he was doing it with Jacques Lasagna Brut Zero champagne.
Come on.
Yeah. And he's like, you got to taste it like this. And I was like, wow. You know what I mean? And of course, I'm not going to do it with champagne. So the best thing is Poter's Petsec.
Yeah. You know? That's really great.
But when you come into Waldair, hopefully this year before it ends, I'll give you a Vergano Spritz so you can be a judge for yourself.
Wait, before it ends?
Well, before the year ends.
I hope before the year ends. I thought you were saying Wild Air's ending.
Wild Air's going to go on and on.
Yeah.
Actually, the name is Wilder, which is the name of the horse that James Delancey had, but everyone doesn't call it that.
Wilder.
Yeah, it's the name of the horse that bred the most winners.
You know, I did
so
not know that.
It's a homage to the LES and James Delancey. Yeah.
But will that kind of be like in social circles if I was like, can I please have a chocolate croissant? You know, like you just say croissant because maybe it makes it seem, you know, if I go Wilder, then I don't know if everyone will even know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
And where's contra come from?
Contra in Spanish means against.
Mm-hmm.
So contra is a name that just came up with, you know, that they wanted to do something different what everyone else was doing. So
I love that. And there's something that in the wines, there's something rebellious.
Absolutely.
It's not the easy way to go, right?
Yeah. You know, it's like a very punk movement, you know. It's all these vignerons, they all have the same, you know, they love the same type of music. They're, you know, way on the left and, you know, they're against everything. They're against what the AOC is about, you know, and they're going back to their ancestral and reflections of, you know, like wines from Domaine Matassa in the Roussillon in Côte Catalan. Mm-hmm. He's doing wines that, you know, were made 100 years ago, which are, you know, very light. I can blind taste so many people and they'll think his reds are like a Poussard from the Jura, but they're like, you know, very fresh, very vibrant and energetic reds that are reflective of the region. You know, no one in the Roussillon wants to drink reds that are like at 14 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
It's hot as hell down there.
Oh, yeah.
You know? But, you know, he's doing some beautiful work right now, and I think he's one of my favorites.
Roussillon's a really interesting area.
Yeah, there's a lot of great guys.
I did tasting with Jules Dresner on Roussillon wines, and that was super interesting. That's a place to look out for.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a place to look out for. All right. I mean, that's it. I mean, everyone, you guys should go to Contra and Wild Air, Wilder. Because those are outstanding places to drink natural wine. Say hi to Jorge. He's there 5 nights a week. And, you know, and they're right next door to each other. So you can, most nights you find them at one or the other. And hope to see you guys at the Raw Wine Fair as well. We have Isabel Legeron, as I mentioned earlier. She's on our show next week. I want to give a big thanks to Dave Tadishar, who produces the show, and Aaron Fairbanks, who runs the Heritage Radio Network, and also to Heritage Food for putting this all together. Thanks to you for listening. This has been In the Drink on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.